All right, here we are again. Bulldogs Extra Podcast. I'm Ryan Dennis, joined by Mark Weiser, and a lot of stuff to talk about. Of course, Georgia finds out their two opponents over the weekend. We know who they will play, where they will go, who will be coming to Athens, and, you know, a little bit more news happening, some earth-shaking news out of the Big Ten about an hour and a half ago. We will talk about that in just a minute. But first, Mark, I woke up on Sunday morning, I do believe, to a tweet from you saying that there was a earthquake in the Athens area, or at least you felt something shake. So what was all that about? Because I did not feel a thing.
By the way, what are you talking about with these games being scheduled? I mean, I know I wrote that, and I know that that was like a Friday deal, but that feels like it was 100 years ago. Are you feeling confident that there's going to be some football in the SEC? I don't know.
Absolutely not. Dominoes are falling, and we know who Georgia is supposed to play in 2020, so maybe an asterisk will go by that at some point, that these games were scheduled but will never be played. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going to stand, and by the time we get done with this, we might have already heard that the SEC will not play this year.
I don't think it's going to be during this half-hour podcast, but I think maybe by the time we do our next podcast, we'll have a lot more clarity. Yes, there was some earth-shaking Sunday morning in Athens, at least on my block, in my neighborhood. And apparently, according to the responses I got on Twitter, all over the region as well. And then, of course, the shifting world of college athletics also, getting rocked by a bunch of different things, including, the player movement gaining more steam with some prominent players nationally. Late Sunday, early Monday, while I was sleeping, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, running back out of Alabama, running back out of Oklahoma State, about a dozen or so guys kind of running or the leaders of that. But so much to talk about. What was your question? Oh, yeah. So you didn't feel the earthquake?
I did not feel the earthquake. But I know a lot of people around Athens were commenting on it. And apparently it was the central point was somewhere up in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So over 100 miles away, people were feeling it, which I guess includes you. Did like a picture shake on the wall or what happened exactly?
I think it was a lot more than 100 miles away. I looked at the map. Where exactly is that? How many miles is the North Carolina border from where we are?
I couldn't tell you. But
no, there was no picture shaking. I was sitting, actually just had booted up my laptop, I believe, and noticed. I was thinking, am I getting a little dizzy, or is kind of this room moving a little bit? So that's what it was.
Yeah.
But, so.
I wanted to get back to the unity, I guess, amongst the players and starting a We Are United movement. Trevor Lawrence, you had mentioned, I know he and Justin Fields, and then it kind of steamrolled from there with players posting this kind of a statement, I guess you could call it, We Are United, hashtag We Want to Play. It pretty much says they want to establish a universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocols to protect college athletes against COVID-19 among all conferences throughout the NCAA, give players the opportunity to opt out and respect their decision, guarantee eligibility whether a player chooses to play this season or not. So it sounds like something we hadn't really seen out of college athletes in the past as far as being able to really form something. And it feels like this is something that might stick moving forward outside of COVID-19.
Well, I mean, the Pac-12, Big Ten, they had, hundreds of players that kind of had a laundry list of, I don't know if you want to use the word demands, I guess you probably could. And they included a cut of the revenue. They included more than just the four or five bullet points that we saw on this one. It's just a little bit too little too late for this season. Probably that's the way it's looking, at least for the fall season. But I think, you could see the starting point for, kind of a united front from players all over the country. And it'll be interesting to see how that how that might play out, and just another wrinkle as these decision makers, the ADs, the presidents, make decisions now that the cake might have already been baked over the weekend. The Big Ten presidents already were moving in that direction, and according to the Detroit Free Press, they already made the decision to cancel the season. We'll see how that plays out if the Pac-12 is presumably going to be following with the Big Ten, and then you're left with what happens with the SEC, Big 12, and ACC. Do they try to have a season of sorts without them? Obviously, you know, it would be an asterisk type season. Are you going to crown a national champion from just those three conferences? You know, who knows? A lot of things to decide, and you know, we'll see how it plays out. There's SEC athletic directors are pretty much meeting every day anyway, and as well today. And Ross Dellinger of SI says the SEC presidents are meeting later today as well. We'll see, you know, how everything shakes down. And so, you know, as I said, at the end of this week, or sooner than the end, maybe by midweek, we'll all know what direction things are going.
Right, and of course, I know it comes down to a lot of money, and that's probably one of the biggest influences. But I would imagine player safety even trumps all the money that will be lost, I guess, from these conferences. Was it Saturday? I think the MAC was kind of the first semi-big conference that said that they were going to do away with football for the fall. So, yeah, like I said earlier in the podcast, it seems like when one domino falls, the others kind of fall in line because you know, a lot of things are on the line with this. But let's assume, Mark Weiser, that there would be a football season, which, like we said over and over again, does not seem likely. Georgia was given their two opponents on Friday when the SEC announced the additional teams from each other side of the conference. And Georgia got a bit of good news, I would say. If you were a Georgia fan, I'd be delighted with the two teams that Georgia was given, going to Arkansas to face former line coach Sam Pittman, and then Mississippi State with their new head coach, the Mad Scientist, coming into Athens. I mean, Georgia couldn't have really gotten a better draw out of that, could they?
No. Well, let's presume that these 10 teams on the Georgia schedule will be who they're going to be facing in the spring of 2021 if it goes in that direction. And, yeah, Georgia got a good draw for 2021. It could be the best spring season Georgia's had in a long time.
I see what you did there.
I mean, I don't know. Look, if there's a spring season, does Georgia Tech become in play again? And what does the virus look like then? What does COVID look like then? You know, I don't think there's going to be a widespread vaccine taken by then. I mean, I think there's certainly by the end of this year, they could have the vaccine ready to be safe and effective. But how long does it take it to be administered, you know, around the country? You know, so we'll see. You know, with I mean, yeah, let's talk about, okay, let's say the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC go ahead and play their conference schedule. Let's say they play in the fall. Georgia certainly got a great, as I wrote about, there's zero reason to complain. You know, Georgia already had Alabama and Auburn on their schedule, so, and Florida obviously from the east, so there's three, what are they, top 12 teams, something like that. The SEC was taking care of the ones that are their best playoff opponents or playoff candidates.
Contenders, yeah.
And so Georgia, you know, got treated well. And Arkansas, you know, Hunter Yurecek, the AD, came out calling it the toughest schedule in the history of the world, and he's probably right.
Missouri might have an argument against that, right?
I mean, Arkansas's home schedule is incredible. I don't have it in front of me, but, like, it's like five top 15 teams, I think.
Yeah.
So
welcome to a head coaching gig in the SEC, Sam Pittman.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was a fun story to write. You know, kind of a more of a normalcy type deal. You're talking about, oh, how does this impact the division race? You know, how did Georgia compare to Alabama and Florida? Who got screwed? Who got treated well? You know, those fun and games seem to be over again.
Well, obviously, we don't know when Georgia will play these opponents. So, what do you think would break first, that the season was canceled, or that we would actually learn when Georgia would play certain teams? I'd imagine at this point, I mean, on the forefront of all the news is that the SEC would go on with a season or not. Wouldn't you think?
I don't think they're announcing any schedule until everything is decided, I mean, that's a whole, and I thought it was kind of telling that they said that there wouldn't be a schedule announcement. It would come sometime in the next 2 weeks. They didn't indicate it's going to come, like, you know, by Wednesday. So 2 weeks, they know that there was decisions still to be made. You know, presumably, as I said, that this will be decided in the next 72 hours, probably, because Georgia and the rest of the SEC teams are scheduled to start preseason practices a week from today, on Monday. And, you know, if the SEC says there's no fall football, then they will probably just stay in a kind of a, I guess, more of a smaller mode in terms of doing what they're doing, training, but not at the level of any kind of contact practices, and maybe even backtracking to just more conditioning and weight training and stuff of that. But then, I mean, this, you're talking about a can of worms we're going to be opening up, because, you know, how many guys, there's no fall season, are going to say, see ya, Georgia, because they're getting ready for the NFL draft. You know, pretty much every senior that would be a, you know, a top 100 type pick might have a tough decision to make, depending on what that fall schedule or spring schedule looks like. A lot of questions to be answered in that regard.
Same with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson and Justin Fields up at Ohio State, and many of the like that, you know, wouldn't want to go through their spring football season if they were getting ready to go into the NFL the next year. But let's take a break right there, Mark. Still got a lot to talk about. We had some rough DeAndre Baker news last week. We had a lot of good Georgia golfers, and Georgia landed a football recruit on Monday. So we will talk about that on Bulldogs Extra Podcast right after this. All right, back on the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner-Herald, and you can read all of our stuff at onlineathens.com or bulldogsextra.com. Keep up with the latest, and it is quick breaking, so always visit that and get the most latest stuff from Mark Weiser and others here at the Athens Banner-Herald. But Mark, when we went to break, I had mentioned that Georgia landed a recruit, so I guess that never slows down, no matter pandemic time or not, that the Bulldogs are, and Kirby Smart, and I guess in this case their tight ends coach, is out on the recruiting trail at all times, and they landed Brock Bowers, a top 100 tight end out of California, and that goes along with Washington, who they landed last year, a big time tight end recruit. So they never slow down, even during these uncertain times. Kirby Smart and the rest of the coaching staff are always out there hauling in big time recruits.
Yeah, so the next time Brock Bowers will be playing a football game that's meaningful, I guess, will come for Georgia, because California has canceled the fall football season. Now, I don't know if he's early enrolling, and I can't remember what the state of California is doing in terms of if they're having a spring season, that kind of thing. A lot of times, you know, a good chunk of the class are early enrollees.
Right.
From Napa, California. Ron, you ever been to Napa, wine country?
I have not been out to California in my life, but that does sound like a good place to be.
Oh, you didn't go to the Rose Bowl, I see, huh?
Yeah, I know. Yep. Wasn't working with you at that time.
All right. Well, here's what I'll tell you about Napa.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the many choices there. You know, in the wine game, you know, the tasting rooms. I know you're a big wine guy. You usually go up to Tennessee and hit some of the wineries up there, isn't that right?
No, but I have been up to Cleveland last fall. Went up there. They have a nice little winery. I can't remember the name of it, but they have several North Georgia wineries that are pretty cool. And I mean, I'm not the biggest wine guy, but you know. It's a neat little place to go and have a little tasting and all that stuff.
I will say this. If you're in Napa, just make sure you follow the rules of the road. The law enforcement officers there are ready to give you a ticket at any moment.
Is this from experience?
This was a long time ago, but, you know, I would say, just a simple crosswalk thing, whether there's a pedestrian that has maybe not gone all the way to the end of the thing. I'm guessing it's a good revenue generator for tourists that are in town.
Yeah.
So, Cleveland, Ohio, good place to get wine, is that what you're saying?
No, Cleveland, Georgia. I haven't been up to Cleveland, Ohio. But Cleveland, Cleveland, Georgia had a couple of cool little wineries. But let's get back to Kirby Smart and the recruiting. I mean, obviously they just never stop.
It's good to have a look. Everyone's worried about the season on its last legs, and then lo and behold, Georgia comes up with a 4-star tight end, as you mentioned, Darnell Washington from out in Las Vegas. So they're killing it. You know, on the other side of the country in the tight end recruiting game. So we'll see, you know, who's next as they are hitting more than a dozen commitments, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the story that's posted at onlineathens.com that Brock Bowers chatted a little bit with Brock Vandegrift, our local player here, the quarterback at Prince Avenue Christian, and said he's a good dude, I believe was the exact words from Brock Bowers. So Brock Vandegrift has been doing a lot of recruiting, trying to bring people in. I think the big target is Amarius Mims. Now, I know that he was supposed to commit, I believe, in 5 days, Amarius Mims, which would be August 15th, but there's some doubt on if that has moved back or not. So we'll have it on our website as soon as that news breaks about Amarius Mims, one of the top linemen in the country, and somebody I know Brock Vandegrift would love to have as kind of his blind side, so to speak, blocker. So Brock Vandegrift, local star, doing a lot of Bulldog recruiting as he hopes to play his senior season as well. Mark, we also mentioned some kind of bad news from the former Bulldog perspective, DeAndre Baker. He, I think it was 3-4 months ago, got kind of caught up in a armed robbery situation and was officially given felonies or prosecuted. What's the technical term from a legal standpoint on DeAndre Baker? I guess he's in really big trouble. Is that how you'd say it?
You know, with everything going on, I did know that the Baker case had kind of became in the news again. But I am not going to break down his legal status now. I just doesn't look good for him to have a productive NFL career with the New York Football Giants at this point.
I think the official, you know, it was officially 4 armed robbery charges with possession of a gun, which doesn't sound good, and I think it can carry at a minimum 10 years in prison. So not good for DeAndre getting caught up in that.
Let's talk about another former Bulldog that was in the news over the weekend.
Good news? And, good news? Or bad?
Well, I will say we can talk about the Georgia golfers in a minute, but, you know, and they had a good weekend. I think, was it all 8 of them?
I'll go get to that. Right. But what was your news?
Not my news, but you know, Mike Bobo's name came up in not a good way, as a report out of Colorado had some bad accusations about the current head coach there and Mike Bobo, the former head coach, also in terms of racial insensitive comments made as it pertained to Mike Bobo. So, you know, we don't cover Mike Bobo now. He's not at Georgia. Now he's at South Carolina as the offensive coordinator there.
But he is a Bulldog kind of – I wouldn't call him a great, but he was, good quarterback here, a long-time coach.
Right. Well, my point is that we would be reporting the story differently if he was on staff. If Kirby had hired him as OC, it would be front and center here. And I did get a chance to visit with Mike. He was gracious enough to give me some time in February when I went over to Columbia, spoke to him. And Joe Cox's office right next to Mike Bobo in the South Carolina football complex. This is pre-pandemic, so was able to visit with them. I didn't spend much time with Cox. I just kind of, had some small talk with him in the hallway. But
speaking of Bulldog quarterback greats, Joe Cox.
Well, certainly he was great in that Arkansas game in 2009. I mean,
5 touchdowns, right?
Right.
And Colorado the year before, or no, I guess it was about 3 years before.
Right.
You know, led the big comeback.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So you know, I wasn't going to ignore the fact that this was out there. So I did retweet South Carolina's official response to this story, and you can go find it online. I'm not going to break down all the accusations and that kind of thing. But until another comment came out from South Carolina that said basically, we talked to Mike, we looked at the the charges, or not charges, but the allegations, and we've decided that, you know, Mike is fine with us here, and we believe in him, or if they went the other direction. But on Sunday, there was sort of a chorus of people kind of vouching for Mike's character, from Mark Rick to DJ Shockley to Matt Stinchcomb to Joe Cox himself, who was involved in one of the incidents that was described in the story. So basically, everybody that knew Mike really well said good things about him. Now, that doesn't discount those that had a different experience with him, perhaps at Colorado State, but it does provide some balance. And we'll see how it ultimately plays out. I think Will Muschamp was retweeting a lot of the positive comments, yeah. So certainly from his head coach's perspective, and very tight with Mike, as is Kirby Smart. That's a story that's going to still be worth watching, but certainly a different tone from those that know Mike, including Rodney Gardner. I should mention him because, yeah. You know, Rodney and Mike hadn't worked together since 2012. We're talking about 8 years ago, and Rodney's at a rival SEC school, but he was not hesitant to go out and say, that this is not the Mike Bobo he knows.
Certainly a touchy subject, but yeah, I mean, you covered him for years at UGA, and never heard anything like that. Not saying it couldn't happen out at Colorado State, but I think we've always heard more positive things about Mike Bobo than we have negative. Moving on to the golf that we had mentioned earlier, Georgia.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but I will say that there's a contingent of Georgia fans that would say run the damn ball, Bobo. That would be the
does that speak to situation. That doesn't speak to his character, though, I guess. They just have an opinion of him as
that just shows that despite putting up a couple of the best numbers in that program history in terms of total offense, he still had some criticism.
Oh, I know. I was always a Bobo defender. I didn't get the people that would say all that stuff negatively about Bobo as a coordinator. He had some great teams. Can I move on to golf now? We got some good news here about Georgia golfers, and
let me say this about the PGA Championship. Yeah. I love the West Coast. The West Coast thing is cool.
Give you a little primetime golf.
That's cool. I enjoy that. But college football, basically stopped me from being able to enjoy the final round. I was geared up to watch it all, and I think it was like about when they were hitting the back nine that everything started to kind of break with
the movement.
Player movement, mm-hmm. and Big Ten news, and like, so I didn't really get a chance to watch any of it.
Well, I kept an eye on it throughout the afternoon. I saw the shot that everyone's raving about with Colin Morikawa, who is out from he's out in the Napa Valley area, out that way, which could explain why he won.
So the shot in question, mm-hmm. was that simply the approach on one of the back nine? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was the 16th hole, which is a drivable par 4, and he sure did drive it and put it within about 10, 12 feet of the hole, and then sunk a putt for eagle, and pretty much clinched the tournament right there, which was awesome. But as we had mentioned, the Bulldogs, former Bulldogs, had 8 golfers. All 8 made the cut, and I am looking at a leaderboard page right here. Patrick Reed, whoa, shouldn't have said that. Patrick Reed tied for 13th at 7-under, but he is not considered a Bulldog around these parts. Brendan Todd was the top finisher, and Brendan Todd's been playing some of the best golf in the country, or in the world, actually, and he hadn't been able to finish too strong. He started off strong on Thursday and finished at 6-under, so an admirable tied for 17th. But on this same page, Harris English, former Bulldog, tied for 19th at 5-under, Kevin Kisner at 5-under, and other Bulldogs such as Keith Mitchell, Sepp Straka, who else? Bubba Watson on that list. Former Bulldogs that played real well over the weekend, didn't get a win or anything like that, but I know that Chris Hack and all those others over in the Georgia Athletic Department are very happy to see those guys do so well this past weekend.
Look, while you were talking, and by the way, there was a couple of that. I think it was Brendan Todd with, I can't remember who, but he was paired with a Georgia guy yesterday. Do you know who it was?
Was it Russell Henley, maybe? Or he might have been with Harris English. He's probably with Harris, maybe.
Might have been English. Mm-hmm. They start the day about 8 shots off the lead or something like that, maybe. Yeah. But by the way, as you were breaking that down, Our president, Donald Trump, just retweeted Trevor Lawrence and added, "The student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled." And then he did a hashtag, "We want to play." So Donald J. Trump is on board with the "We want to play." Now, he didn't use the hashtag "We are united," so maybe he doesn't agree here in this instance in a union for the players. But apparently wants to see college football. Donald Trump was at the Georgia-Alabama National Championship game.
Oh, yeah, that he was. In New Orleans, correct?
So that'll be in Atlanta, in a place called Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that game?
Was it the national championship last year?
No, the Georgia-Alabama game.
Yeah, I kept an eye on it. I think I told this story. I watched it at the Georgia Theater that night, and it was fun. It was quite a crowd until the last play of the game. Then it wasn't fun for everybody in there. But
all right, well, I'll be happy to see you know, whether it's actually, let's see, the national championship game is played this year. If it was on schedule, which, come on, I'm not really going to say that's likely to be happening. But this will be before the inauguration, whether it's Trump or Biden. So Trump could come as the president to that game.
Yeah,
I was thinking maybe it was after you know,
January 20th.
Stay away from politics. Yeah, let's stay away from politics. But
I'm all for that.
Looking forward to our next podcast, which we'll be able to talk a lot more about what's the next golf event? I don't even know.
They are at the Wyndham Championship this weekend. I think the second major, the U.S. Open, is in 3 weeks I can't remember. Wingfoot.
Before we leave, some sad news on the cancellation front. I got an email about an hour ago. The NHRA race in Commerce has been canceled due to the pandemic. Ryan, I've actually been out there before. I did a story or two on, I believe it was John Force's daughter.
Okay.
Now, I know you're a big NASCAR gearhead.
Mm-hmm.
Are you into the NHRA? Do you know about that?
Oh, I know about it, but I hadn't really ever gotten into it. To me, I mean, what do you, you press the gas down and you go real fast? I mean, doesn't do much for me.
Well, I thought you were into all motorsports.
Nah, I mean, did you see some of the like funny car action and whatnot out there? I mean, is it impressive to sit there and watch you go? I've never been to one. Is it kind of cool to watch?
Well, I was there during. I actually didn't cover the actual races.
Right.
I believe I was just there for the kind of their practice runs, and you know, got a chance to speak to some drivers, that kind of thing. What did you say? Is it funny car? Is it Top Fuel?
I don't
keep up with it. Distinction, but it won't be happening.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's sad. We might come to you later this week. Depends on how things are breaking, how news is happening, which we're expecting the dominoes to keep falling. So we will.
Well, let me just add this.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're recording this obviously Monday a little bit after lunchtime. Reason why we were going to do it Friday, but then the FCC kept pushing off, or apparently we're pushing off. We thought that they would be announcing the schedule early in their day. It turned out to be 6 p.m. Ryan had some big dinner plans. Did not want to like record a podcast at 8 or 9 at night. Where'd you go to dinner that night anyway?
Actually, stayed home and cooked, but, you know, I just it was too late. Didn't want to do it. Thanks for calling me out.
Yeah, so it's fine. We brought it to you now, and we'll see if we come back this week or maybe next week. We'll see how it all plays out.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Ron?
But yeah, if you are listening to us through our website, please find us on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to your podcast. Click subscribe. Give us a good rating. Also check, like we said, BulldogsExtra.com, OnlineAthens.com. Follow Mark Weiser on Twitter @ Mark Weiser, and please find me and follow me at RhinoDennis19. I think that's all we got, Mark, for today. We appreciate y'all listening, and we'll come to you later. This is the Bulldogs Extra Podcast from the Athens Banner Herald.